The Sunday Show with EPIC, the Irish Emigration Museum, an interactive journey that shows how a small island made a big impact on the world. EPICCHQ.com.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome to The Sunday Show. And I'm delighted to be joined this evening by Governor Ned Lamont here in Connecticut and Anthony Anthony from the Office of Tourism here in Connecticut, Visit Connecticut. Guys, it's an absolute pleasure to meet you both. And I have to say that my first time visiting your lovely state, and it's full of wonderful surprises, and what a beautiful place.
Love it. Come visit. Tell everybody from Ireland, come visit. We have a direct flight from Ireland right to Bradley Airport here in Hartford.
Yeah, and I see there, Governor, that again on the 1st of April, Aer Lingus are back with the direct flight. I mean, I actually flew into Boston and I came on the Amtrak, which was another sort of first for me that I hadn't done before, and hopped off at Mystic, which was really great, and loved it. What a beautiful town. But before we talk all about Connecticut and the tourism, Governor, I just wanted to talk a little bit about you. I mean, this is your second term as governor here. I was reading that you have one of the highest approval ratings of any governor in America, which is pretty fantastic. What got you into politics, or what attracted you to politics?
I spent most of my life in the business world. I built telecommunications systems, but I've always kept an eye on those scoundrels in state capitals and figured maybe I could participate someday. So I ran a few years back, was fortunate enough to come out of the business world. You want to be a governor because that's like the chief executive officer of the state. You really feel like you can get a lot of stuff done. And I've enjoyed every second of it. Connecticut has a large Irish American population, and it's also a very diverse state. It's a fascinating state, and I get a chance to meet everybody.
Yeah, and Anthony, I suppose population-wise, Connecticut is similar a little bit to Ireland in that you have a population, I think, about 3.65 million.
And growing, I'll add that. We actually had more people move into Connecticut over the last 2 years than nearly two decades. So I think the word's getting out about our small and mighty state.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I had sort of driven through here, and people say that, oh, they didn't really know a lot about it, but it is really an amazing place to visit. I mean, as I said, I was in Mystic, I was in New Haven. Yale was amazing. I mean, absolutely fantastic. Tourism, I think there's a huge potential here for tourism from Ireland, and in fact, what it can bring here. I know we have a lot of Irish companies that locate here as well, because you've got so many good, you know, in terms of infrastructure, in terms of facilities, and I think quality of life now that I've been here for a few days.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, all these things you're talking about, specifically, though, the quality of life, it actually relates back to tourism, because what makes Connecticut a great place for people to visit also makes it a great place for people to live, in addition to the quality schools and the safe neighborhoods and healthcare and all of those wonderful things. At the end of the day, I think my mission is almost exactly what you were talking about. You know, people driving through. I want to make this a drive to state, not a drive through state.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. That's very good, because again, when I just look at the few days I was here in terms of the offerings you have, Mystic, I mean, you've got the biggest maritime museum here in America, the oldest preserved whaler ship. I was saying that New Haven, which was great, Yale University, the campus there is amazing. I mean, the altruistic way that you have libraries, everybody can just drop in. It's really fantastic.
Yeah, it's you know, I'd say it's akin to your homeland in Ireland. There's so much value on community and storytelling and people coming together to share all this. I mean, that's why I find that our communities are so fantastic. And, you know, Mystic and New Haven, where you've been, are obviously wonderful and gems of our state. But I think you see that in all of our little communities around, you know, whether it's Hamden or Harwinton or Hartford.
You know, Ed, you can squint your eyes and see colonial Connecticut back in the 17th century. You know, this was one of the original 13 colonies, and a lot of our towns and old town greens and old architecture right out of a Norman Rockwell painting, very classic and old-fashioned. And yet we still have some pretty fun, hip cities. You know, you go down to New Haven, like you said, you know, a swinging university town, pretty damn good pizza, I might add, and some great jazz music.
Now, yeah, the pizza is amazing. Yeah, bar pizza. We went to the place and it was phenomenal. And the girl actually who took us on the campus tour of Yale, a student there, her enthusiasm was amazing. And she told us all the best places to go. And that was really incredible as well. But I mean, what I also found amazing is you have a huge amount of state parks here. You've got some of the biggest hiking trails in America that I didn't know about as well. So huge stuff for outdoors. We just stayed in a place called Winvian, which is these amazing lodges.
Unbelievable. And, stunning.
That was just something else. And I had the best duck I ever had in my entire life last night up there. Being honest about that, it was just phenomenal. So the cuisine here, I mean, I know we talked about pizza. Even the other night when we were in Mystic, we were in an amazing restaurant there with live music. I mean, I had corned beef and cabbage. I was just coming off St. Patrick's Day. So I was still, you know, having from Boston, which was great. But I'm really, really impressed by the whole culinary, you know, scene that's going on here as well.
Well, Gov, I mean, you could tell the story better than I could. You just proclaimed Connecticut the foodie capital of New England. And that's like, you know, patting yourself on the back. But at the end of the day, we have some of the most diverse and rich culinary institutions in this state. I mean, I'm currently eating my way through the state on a food tour, and I put on more weight than I care to admit, but it's worth it. It's worth every minute.
I mean, no, there isn't a pick on him. I can tell you.
So while you're in Mystic, keep on going up to Essex. You're going to love Essex, a classic old town going back to the 17th century, seafaring town. They got an inn that goes back that long called the Griswold Inn. And right there, every Monday night, you know what they do? They sing Irish sea shanties.
Wow.
You're going to love it. Come on up. We'll have a few pints while we're there.
Well, I'd say the more as the night goes on, it starts, you know, 6 o'clock. The more pints that they drink, the bluer the songs get too. So, you know, if you like to keep it PG or PG-13, you leave after, you know, 7:30.
Yeah.
No, it's a fun evening.
Absolutely. And I mean, the amazing scene there in, again, New Haven again, which is a beautiful town. I mean, great nightlife there, great bars again. There's a huge connection here, of course, with the history, Governor, of America, really, because the charter here, I mean, I know I heard a great story about the Charter Oaks and hiding charters from the British. It'd be lovely to hear a little bit about the history here as well, because it is really kind of almost where things began as well for America.
You're in his wheelhouse, by the way. He loves history.
Yeah, great. Irish people love history.
So we have 169 towns. We're not that big a state, like you say, about the same population as Ireland. Lots of little towns. Each has its own history. Often it's a church or a branch of a church that ended up breaking off from New Haven and creating their own separate, you know, entity there. And each and every one of these towns has their own personality. You fast forward, we're a great industrial and maritime place. We created the cotton gin and the typewriters and a lot of the old early industrialization, you know, started right here in Connecticut because of where we were. And, you know, today it's now more aerospace and helicopters, more advanced manufacturing. But the history has traveled through 4 or 5 different periods. And I think that's fun to see because you can see it as you drive around the state. And by the way, it doesn't take that long to drive around the state. It's a couple of hours here to there.
Yeah, well, which is great. I mean, and I know we were chatting earlier, you have connections yourself to Coleraine and to Northern Ireland, where everything is an hour and a half away, and actually reminded me a lot of here because you're not too far from anywhere. And yet, you're immersed in a completely different scenery. As I said, you've got nature everywhere as well. And that's really interesting.
Look, we have two connections. One is Coleraine, as you called it, and where my family was many years ago. And my daughter told me just very recently, I'm going to be a grandfather. And I said, that's amazing. At my young age, you're wondering, how could I be a grandfather? And I said, and she said, you know what? We've already got a name for him. I said, really? That's Finn. Finn. His name's going to be Finn. Isn't that great?
That is a good name.
So there you go.
That's a good name. Yeah, I like that name myself.
That's you brilliant. Do like that.
Yeah. So because I'm going to be visiting the Mark Twain house as well, of course, Huckleberry Finn, which is great. That's amazing. That's a great name. Irish name, Fionn, which means fair hair or fair personality. So there you go. You couldn't get better than that. The one thing as well, I noticed, there is a huge connection. I mean, I know we have the Irish-American connection is huge, but people here, a lot of people that came to Connecticut, you know, they've lived in different parts, came here and they're never going to leave because they just think this is one of the best places to live in America.
Yeah. I was going to say, when you're talking about flying in and direct flight into Bradley Airport, say, like, just buy a one-way ticket, folks. It's like, just fly in and stay. You don't really need to go very far. We've got it all here.
Yeah. And I think what we did was very easy. I mean, flying to Boston, and then, I mean, it was an hour and 20 minutes on the train to Mystic. I mean, it was a really nice way to get here. And I really liked that. And of course, then stay here and then fly out of Bradley, which was really good.
Right. And in our round trip flights directly from Bradley to Dublin, it's made very easy in the fact that you actually go through customs in Dublin. So the convenience factor is incredible. It's like you can fly right in, get off the plane, walk to get your rental car, and be anywhere in the state within an hour, hour and a half drive. So it's you're going to have fun and not have to waste time with the travel.
Yeah, but I think that's one of the great things that we have. I mean, and a lot of people, even a lot of tourists from other countries now, have been using with Aer Lingus, of course, being part of IAG, using Dublin as a hub. And I think we came through in 40 minutes on the way over. So
that's
awesome. It was terrific.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, actually, one of the things that you were talking about before, mentioning outdoor activities and hiking, I mean, I think that's one of the great benefits of Connecticut. Everything is convenient. So anywhere you go in the state, within 15 minutes, you can be in a state park and on a trail. So it's very convenient.
Now, I must say, I've been in a few government buildings, state capitals, Governor. This building here is beautiful. It's so stunning. I mean, the history of this building it must be quite incredible, is it? Because it is in the most beautiful preserved state.
So, Ed, this building goes back 150 years, which in America is antique. Maybe for you, you say, hey, a nice new building you got here. But I love it because of the history. I love it because I know all the people that have walked through this building over the years. I know what Connecticut meant in terms of our early colonial times. I know what it meant in terms of the founding of our republic. I know that George Washington came through here. So our history is recent enough that we can sort of tell the stories to our children very personally.
Yeah, ma'am. The other thing that was very impressive as well was when I went to the Pequot Museum the other day, I think I'm saying the word right. I mean, our guide there, Matthew, was telling us of that we did the whole 20,000 year from the glacier that came through here, but their ancestry and the way that they developed that museum is incredible. I mean, the way they've created the village there, the interpretive center. I mean, really amazing. I didn't know. I mean, I knew a lot about American history, about American Indian history, different tribes. I'd never really heard much about Pequot, but really fascinating history.
Our history did not begin when the Mayflower arrived. And the Pequots and the Mohegans had a very civilized culture here in the greater Connecticut area, you know, going back, 500 years. And they're still very vibrant in our greater community. Great tourist destinations, Mohegan Sun and Foxwoods. Fun places to visit. Your kids can have a good time, catch a show, maybe do a little gambling along the way.
Yeah, that was I was there, and they've a zip line there you can take from Fox Tower, right? I didn't do it this time, but
why not?
Life
is not a spectator sport. Come on,
I've done zip lining before, but I'm going to come back and do it again. But that is amazing. The shows are incredible there. I mean, I've been to casinos around America. They don't have windows a lot of the time. You've got windows here. You've got forests. You come out of the forest and you see this amazing building. And it's really unique. I mean, it is. I think it's like a stylish type casino offering you have here.
And it's for the entire family. And right now it's not just casinos, but it's the shows. It's the fun. It's the golf. They want to make it a one-week visit, not a one-night visit.
They do a great job with that, too. They're actually building the Great Wolf Lodge, which is going to be...
This is the biggest water park. What is that?
Bingo. So it's going to be one of the biggest water parks, indoor water parks in the United States. And that's right on the campus of the Foxwoods Casino. So you can go in with the kids, stay at Great Wolf Lodge, have a wonderful time in the water, jump outside, go for a hike, go to the Mashantuck and Pequot Museum that you were talking about. And by the way, I did the same tour that you did about 6 months ago. And I walked out feeling so touched in how they honor their history. And being a resident of the state, you recognize how it ties in and makes a meaningful part, again, of the community. So I love what they're doing over there with the Mash and Tuckett Pequots and Foxwoods and with the Great Wolf Lodge.
Yeah, and the other thing, I mean, the amazing thing here is you have an amazing art scene. I mean, New Canaan, where I visited yesterday, the Philip Johnson Glasshouse. I've been on my list. I wasn't even sure. I'd read about it. I didn't even realize it was actually here in Connecticut. And that is fabulous. And I know they're doing a renovation on the Brick House there as well. Mm-hmm. Andy Warhol used to go there. You know, you had the great five architects, of course, that were all kind of centered in this area. But that is incredible. And the artwork that they have there, the art, it's really amazing. Now, that's reopening, I know, I think on the 3rd of May. But that's going to be amazing.
Like hey, Anthony, you know, you do a pretty good job for tourism, but I'm handing it here with Ed. He really knows how to tell our story.
I'd be okay if you kicked me to the curb and brought Ed in. He knows way more than I do. Way more.
No, but it's for me, I suppose it's exciting when you discover a new place, you know. And for me, this was just, I was a blank canvas coming here, and I am just, you know, as you can probably tell from my, very, very impressed. Sorry, Anthony, yeah.
No, I was saying, if you have a chance while you're here, you have to check out the Wadsworth. So just down the street from here, and it is a world-class art museum. I mean, you always hear about the Louvre and the Guggenheim. You should be hearing about the Wadsworth, some of the pieces they have in their collection. Are not only classic or modern, but they have some of the most beautiful, inspiring pieces that you'll see. I had a chance to go through there with the Gov just not too long ago.
You know what I do? I bring the kids through there every year and trying to make the museums come to life. Wadsworth was built by a guy named J.P. Morgan, the great banker, and he grew up here in Hartford, wanted to give something back, and that's a pretty nice place. Good place for a party.
Yeah, but you talk about JP Morgan, of course, we have like loads of offices in Dublin in the financial services centres as well, JP Morgan. A huge amount of Irish, I mean, for businesses here, of course, Governor, this is a real hub as well. There's a lot of real startups as well that developed here. So it's a really big place for, I mean, I know we've Silicon Valley, but Connecticut is quite a big area for that as well, isn't it?
If you're a business over in Ireland and you're thinking about getting a foothold in the United States and access to a bigger market, Connecticut's not a bad place to be. Easy access to and from Dublin to Bradley, small enough state that everybody's a one telephone call away, easy access to Boston and New York, great place to visit, wouldn't want to live there. Not a bad place to start your business over here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I could see that myself when I was driving around. New England, of course, you know, made up of six different states, I believe. Everywhere you go here, when I was driving around with Sue and we arrived into Mystic, the houses are just so pretty. Everywhere you look, you have these gorgeous buildings, houses. This, I know we didn't even talk about the fall, right? Now, Connecticut is huge in the fall. And I mean, I would love to come back at some stage, but it's just amazing, the buildings and these beautiful houses everywhere you go, aesthetically beautiful.
Yeah, so Connecticut is the gateway to New England. South of us, as you know, is New York, very urban and Dutch. Then you get Connecticut right through all the way up to Maine. And as you point out, one of the great seasons here is the fall because of the foliage. It's remarkable. We have a lot of visitors. We've had more visitors to the Connecticut in the last few years than ever before in our history.
The fall should be on everybody's bucket list visiting here. I mean, just seeing the fiery reds and the golden yellows, it's really stunning. I'm not doing it justice in explaining it, and it's just one of those things you just have to see.
Yeah, and another thing, we're going to be chatting to David Skelly in part three of the program, that amazing natural history, the Peabody Museum Natural History, reopening on the 26th of March now with all those Brontosaurus, Stegosaurus, Triceratops. I mean, if you're a dinosaur, that's going to be incredible.
Now, I'm going to take my son. He's 2 years old and goes nuts for dinosaurs. I remember I took him just a couple weeks ago to this Jurassic exhibit and they had an animatronic T-Rex. And this is a boy who you can't quite understand at times when he's talking, but he said clear as day, he looked up at it and says, "Oh my God." So I can't wait to see.
Is that what animatronic means? Oh my God. That's a big word.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, animatronic, though, it's a robotic.
Yeah.
It moved up and down. So
for anybody who hasn't been here before, Anthony, what would you say in terms of time? Just give a nice little itinerary. I can certainly be a giving one when I get back. But what would you say to people, you know, how long to spend here? I forgot to mention as well, I had a great time at Litchfield Distillery, biggest distillery in Connecticut. I asked the guy his name, Ryan Flynn Murphy. I said, yeah, must be a bit Irish there, right? Amazing guy. He knew his business. But beautiful, amazing bourbons there. They do vodkas, gins, fabulous place to stop off at. It's up near Whinvian where we were. But just to give people an idea of what would you recommend, you know, sort of like day, 5 or 6 days probably, I think would you'd want.
I think that's perfect because Connecticut's almost like four different states. We've got the area around New York, which has, you know, a little bit more of some of our bigger cities, the Stamfords, and then you get into New Haven and you can get some of that urban vibe and culture. And then you move out into Mystic in eastern Connecticut and the northeast corner of the state. And it's a little bit more traditional New England. It's got, you'd be outdoors and enjoy every little bit of it while also enjoying the coastline. And then you get up into central Connecticut in the Litchfield Hills where you were just referencing. And it's like being in the mountains of New Hampshire or Vermont. I think that is 5 to 6 days gives you a chance to take in every little bit of it and appreciate it and enjoy. And you really can find your vibe here. You, whatever it is you're looking for, we've got it.
Yeah, Monday you go down to Essex, sing a few sea shanties, enjoy the maritime, then keep on going down the Mystic, home of Mystic Pizza. You remember Julie Roberts?
Yeah.
Wonderful seafront community. Then, like Anthony said, you head over through Hartford, perhaps, or New Haven, enjoy some of the pizza and love there. Then you get to the Goshen Fair, a great old-fashioned agricultural fair there in July. Not a bad place to see what this state was like 300 years ago. Then you head on down to Lime Rock. It's a race car track, but it's not like one of those amphitheaters. It's through the rolling hills, and you're sitting back and you're having a nice pint as you watch the antique cars race by. Then you end up down in Fairfield County. You catch a pretty good show.
Brilliant. Yeah, I see actually Foxwoods, they've got go-karting as well. I forgot to mention that. That's another
thing. Did you jump in and give it a shot?
Yeah, I had to get extra insurance, Anthony, but it was all good. So it's been great to talk to you guys this evening on the Sunday show. Governor, you're on your second term now. Is your elections are up in 26, is it? Are you thinking of running again?
I got to make up my mind on that. But the voters of Connecticut are stuck with me for at least another 2.5 years. We just had the election a while back. There are no term limits in this state. Maybe there are in Ireland. I'm not sure. But like I said, I love the job. I love being a champion for this state. I love you giving me the opportunity, Ed, to talk about the state I love. You
Brilliant.
Will, too.
And with that amazing approval rating that we talked about earlier, have you any eyes at all on Washington?
Washington is a pretty tricky place these days. I kind of like Hartford. We know how to get stuff done.
Have you any plans at all going forward? Would you ever run for the White House?
Well, you never say never, but life is marching on for me. I love what I'm doing. And by the way, I'm a Democrat. We have a president of the United States who's showing some pretty sprightly legs at the age of 81. Okay.
He is indeed. And actually, we love it. He's the most Irish president we ever had. And his recent visit, we're pretty excited. So it was great. So, yeah. And of course, you've got an election coming up this year. So exciting times ahead, I guess.
Exciting times ahead. Don't worry. We always do the right thing after exhausting all the other options in this country. We'll be fine.
Brilliant. Well, Governor Ned Lamont and Anthony, thank you so much, guys, for chatting to us this evening and for being guests on the Sunday show. And I'm looking forward to spending another few days here in Connecticut. I hope the weather's going to be as good as it has been for the last few days. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank
Great
you,
to be with you.
And now I'm delighted to be joined by David Skelly, who is the director of the Yale Peabody Museum. A very famous museum that is reopening on the 26th of March after a 4-year renovation. Now, David, I suppose the Peabody Museum has been famous for housing some amazing dinosaurs and prehistoric mammals and monuments over the years. But what's going to be open on the 26th of March is going to be pretty incredible.
Yeah, we're very excited to get back open. We closed, like so many things did. We closed down in March of 2020. With the onset of the pandemic, we were supposed to close for our renovation that July. And obviously, like everything else, we ended up closing when the world kind of shut down. And we've been hard at it ever since. We had to figure out how to renovate a museum during the pandemic. We shipped our dinosaurs up to Canada. They had these wonderful spa treatments and they're back and all mounted and looking fantastic. And they're ready for their showtime.
Now, I mean, the museum was founded in 1866. It's one of the world's oldest and largest university museums of its kind, home to over 14 million objects, David. Wow. So you'd need a few days to visit.
Yeah, well, the galleries are a great afternoon or a morning. Come and have a look. You know, you spend a couple hours there, you can get a good sense for. We don't have 14 million things on display. We've got a couple thousand things on display, but they're pretty amazing things and definitely worth your audience's time for sure.
Wonderful words like we know in the dinosaur world, Brontosaurus, Stegosaurus, Triceratops. I mean, these are all iconic, I suppose, for anybody who's watched any of the Jurassic Park movies. And you have those here for people to actually see.
Yeah, so our founding director was a guy named O.C. Marsh, and he was right there in 1866 when the museum was founded. And in 1866, we really didn't know very much about dinosaurs. And he was the first paleontologist to really get out into the American West. He was coming on board to his role just as the Transcontinental Railroad was being built. And he was literally riding to the end of the rails every summer and exploring from there. And, you know, there were people, whether they were, you know, European settlers or Native Americans, who knew that these big bones would be kind of leaking out of the hillsides. And they took him to these sites. And he was the person who first made sense of these things. And he gave to the world these dinosaurs we all know now, like Brontosaurus and Triceratops and flying reptiles like Pteranodon and my favorite Stegosaurus when I was growing up. So these are, you know, they pass the kind of 8-year-old test where if you ask an 8-year-old to name dinosaurs, a lot of those are the ones that were discovered by Marsh here at Yale, and they're on display.
Amazing. And I suppose just to give people an idea, we're here in New Haven in Connecticut, of course, which I came yesterday on the train from Boston. I got the Amtrak down, David, which was amazing, to Mystic, a beautiful little town, which is not far away from here. But so very, very good, very easily accessible here. Of course, we've got Bradley International Airport. So a really easy place to get to for people that want to see this amazing museum. And of course, we also must say, which is brilliant, that it is free to the public.
It is, yeah. So all of Yale's museums and galleries are free to the public. So we've got the Peabody Museum here, Yale Art Gallery, and the Center for British Art.
Has it been a labor of love for you over the last 4 years? I mean, I see a $160 million philanthropic gift, David. Sounds like that was good. But a lot of amazing work over the last few years, right?
Yeah, so I grew up here in Connecticut. So I've been coming to this museum since I was about 5 years old. And it was the place where I kind of figured out that there were adults who got to hang out with dinosaurs. And I'm an ecologist. And that's where I figured out that that was a profession. So it's a very, personally, it's a very special place to me. And, you know, I guess what I think about as I think about what this represents is I hope we're all paying it forward to the next generation and so that they can be inspired as well.
No, absolutely. And I mean, I think for families and for kids, as I was saying earlier, I mean, the Peabody, a very iconic museum, over 150 years old. I think for families and for kids, this is going to be something really special. And for anybody who hasn't been here like myself before to Connecticut, I must say this is I'm very surprised and pleasantly surprised and amazed by all the amazing things to do and see here. And to be in Yale University, to be here today, for me, it's like, it's incredible. Because again, such an iconic name. And for people in Ireland, Yale, you know, a great experience to be here.
Oh, yeah. So my name is David Kiernan Skelly. So my people going back were from Ireland. And my great-grandparents emigrated from Ireland to here. And it would absolutely blow their mind to know that their great-grandson was actually even working at Yale. Because back in the day, that wasn't going on.
No, absolutely. And David, for yourself, have you got a favorite now? I know you said earlier that you were growing up that, you know, the Stegosaurus, was it Triceratops or Stegosaurus you said was your favorite? I mean, for people that when they come, you're going to need a good, with the new reopened galleries, I mean, it's going to be incredibly impressive.
Yeah, it is. And there's lots to really get into there. I mean, for a lot of people, the Brontosaurus is the star of the show. That's the largest fossil mount we have there. It's 75 feet long. This thing would have weighed 30 tons when it was alive. So it's a pretty impressive creature to be able to to see. And then now with the way it's mounted, you can walk right underneath it. So that's pretty magical for me.
No, amazing. And I think as well, you know, you're bringing the story of natural and human history to a whole new generation now, of course. And I think that for me is something amazing, especially in the times we're living in now.
Yes, for sure. And that's something that we're really trying to be very thoughtful about. You know, we do represent both the natural world and the cultural world. And, you know, there's a lot of sensitivities around how we represent cultures. So we've been thinking a lot about that with the reopening and making sure that we're leaning into talking to these cultures about how they wish to be represented and making sure they have their perspectives, you know, kind of front and center.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, listen, David, it's been a great pleasure to talk to you today. I will be back as soon as I get a chance, hopefully in May. I definitely want to come and I am chomping at the bit, very excited to see the new Peabody when it's opened again. What's the best website, David, for people to check it out when they want to get all the information?
Sure. So it's peabody.yale.edu. And we look forward to welcoming you and your audience to the museum as soon as possible.
Great. Well, listen, David, thanks a million for joining us on the show today. And it's been a pleasure to talk to you. And as I said, looking very forward to coming and seeing the new Peabody when it's reopened again. Thanks a million, David.
You take care. Thank you.
Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed the program this evening from the Constitution State of Connecticut. I'd like to say a big thanks to Sue Henrique from Visit Connecticut for helping us to make tonight's show possible.